and on, and they get too tired, just pull in, and the at least the Sunday school room or the back door, at least that's what I'm always told. I mean, sometimes there's coolers of fish waiting for me when I get there. That's an inside story, but that, not this time of year, people. Not this time of year, but sometimes it's up. Brother Ho, why are you laughing? You know, amen. When the fish are in the river, you must go. So, excited to have Brother Severs, and I'll say this, Brother Severs and Miss Severs, it's not easy, but they went from North Carolina to Glen Allen, Alaska. When first time I drove through Glen Allen, I said, oh my soul. I was trying to get bearings like where I was, and then I got smart and figured out the ocean's not that far away, so I could have made it. You know, there's rivers around, that kind of thing. But their boys are awesome young men, and I just love getting my kids around their kids. When they say, can we go see them? I was like, oh, I wish I could really make that happen. I love camp, love the youth route stuff because we get to see them and doing good. And they're the kind of young men that if they had to come do something for me, I wouldn't have to worry about it. They're just they're a blessing. I know I don't embarrass them and stuff. But they just are. They are. And I'm excited to have him come and speak to us tonight. And he'll get up here and say he doesn't know what he's doing. But I think he's doing a pretty good job. And I'm excited to have him tonight. So Brother Jason, come preach to us tonight. We'd be excited.
I just have one question. What time does McDonald's close around here? Because we don't have McDonald's in Glen Allen, so come if you come this far south, you got to stop at McDonald's. Either that or Sonic for a Route 44 cherry limeade. All right, that's what we do. All right, I do appreciate the opportunity to be here, and thank you, Pastor Garner, for the invite and for all that you've done for us, your prayers for us and all that. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and turn with me to the book of Ruth, this evening, the book of Ruth tonight. We, Teresa and I, have been married. I'll give you a little bit of information. We have been married 22 years. Amen. And congratulations to those of you that are on your 49th year. Congratulations to you folks. That is a milestone that I trust God tarries is coming. I will see. But if he, I pray he doesn't tarry his coming and he comes and gets us. Amen.
Amen.
But thank you for your dedication and your service and faithfulness to the Lord. Amen. I thank God for anybody that would put up with me for 22 years.
Right.
Appreciate that. Let's see, I got the timer going, brother. All right. I'm going to turn this on. I think I turned it on. Is it on, brother? All right. Well, like it was said, all right. That is the message tonight, all in that one picture, one slide, when we became us. And how many of you remember when you got married? How many of you remember the day you got married? I remember that day because I had to break into our house, bust the window out of our house because Teresa locked the doors, and all my clothes to go on our honeymoon were still in the house. And she locked the doors, and I had to go bust the back window in to be able to go and get my clothes to go get to the. My tuxedo was there, all that was there. And so I do remember that. That's not all I remember. I remember all the groomsmen took birdseed and dumped it down my shirt. That was a miserable ride. But amen, it was fun. And we thank God for the day we became us. I think about that. And I think about how far God has brought us in our marriage. And Pastor was talking about there is a season. And we're getting to the further older end of that season. And it's hard to imagine that 22 years ago, when we were first married, that God would give us four boys. move us to Glen Allen, Alaska. Matter of fact, just coming to see Alaska was a lifelong dream. And then God moved us here, and we've been here 11 years this year, and thank the Lord for that. But I have some quotes of what children think marriage are or is, okay? Some of you may have seen these, but this is what kids say marriage is. You know, brother, I may just not do PowerPoint. 6-year-old boy said it's when you get to keep the girl and don't have to send her home to her parents. Yes. What's the proper age to get married? Proper age to get married is 84. Because that age, you don't have to work anymore and you can spend all your time loving on each other in your bedroom. It's a girl by the age of eight. Once I'm done with kindergarten, I'm going to find me a wife. What do most people do on a date? On the first date, they just tell each other lies. Get used to interested in going on the second date. I like this one. Just eat pork chops and French fries and talk about love. Those are rednecks right there. What does falling in love feel like? A 9-year-old boy says, like an avalanche where you have to run for your life. This is my favorite. If falling in love is anything like learning how to spell, I don't want anything to do with it. It takes too long. What role does good looks play in marriage? A boy at 7 years age said, it isn't always how you look. Look at me. I'm handsome like anything, and I haven't got anybody to marry me yet. Another one says, beauty skin deep, but how rich you are can last a long time. What's a surefire ways to make person fall in love with you? Tell them that you own a whole bunch of candy stores. And one is to take the girl out to eat, make sure it's something she likes. French fries usually works for me. Depends on whose French fries they are. But those are some funny things that children have said about marriage. And I don't know how long you have been married. We saw a little bit about that a while ago, but I'm grateful for marriage. It seems like, Teresa and I talk about this, it seems like the longer we're married, the more we enjoy just spending time with each other. And don't have to do anything, just enjoy spending time with each other. Later on in the message, I'm going to give you some things, how it works for us. And as I think about this, you'll laugh, but you got to take time to get away. You got to take time to get away. We recently went on a date to IGA, Glen Allen, in Glen Allen. I don't know what the occasion was, but it was Christmas. That's right. It was Christmas. We went on a date Christmas to go to IGA. We got ice cream. And just to spend time together is well worth it. And I am so thankful for what God has done and is doing in our life. Thank you for those of you who have prayed for us, those of you that support us in our ministry there. We are so grateful for each of you, the friendships that we have with these pastors and churches that just are an encouragement to us. And some of you will never know this side of eternity how much you mean to us. There are some of you in here that I call on. I have to ask some hard questions sometimes, and I appreciate the answers and the time that you give to answer and to help us. Because, preacher, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like everyone else. I'm just trying to find our way and to make life work. And it's not always easy. It's not always the bed of roses and doesn't always smell like roses. But I'm grateful for the privilege that God has given us. If you're familiar with the book of Ruth, I trust some of you are, some of you may not be. The book of Ruth is a great love story. It is a tremendous love story. I love the book of Ruth. It's set in between, it's been called the book of grace. It's set in between the book of gloom, Judges, where the Bible says every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And it's set in between the book of doom and the books of glory, 1 and 2 Samuel. And it's this book of grace, this little book of grace that tells the story of a family by the name of Naomi and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion, the father and the mother and the two sons. They sojourn out of the land of Bethlehem, Judah, down to Moab, running from God.
Yes.
They leave a famine and they're running from God. And the interesting thing that you find as you read this is they get out of God's will. They're running from God, and the sad part is that's where a lot of folks are. They take their children, they'll leave church, they'll run. And what happens when they get down into out of the church and out of the will of God? Heartache, heartbreak comes. And then you sit back and go, what did I do wrong? Well, it's got to be the preacher's fault. It's got to be the church's fault. It's got to be that Sunday school teacher's fault who said something to my kids. Or it's got to be the youth pastor's fault, Brother Caden.
Yeah.
Right? By the way, Mary Hart Hour, throw that plug out there for you guys. Mary, that's right. But as you think, somebody's always done something wrong. When truthfully, it's us as parents. We've left the will of God. We've drug our kids out of the will of God. I remember the night that I told Teresa we were moving to Alaska. You asked that question up here a while ago, who cries the most? You hang around Teresa for 1 second. You know who cries the most in our relationship. I mean, it's bad. It's rough. Throw under the bus right now. We're going on another date. I told her we were leaving her home church. We were moving to Glen Allen, leaving her family. We were moving to Glen Allen, and I thought it was hard on her. It was hard on her parents. But God's grace has been sufficient. Some of you have seen that picture. That's our last updated prayer card. The only reason I still use that same prayer card is I look a whole lot better in that picture than I do right now. I think that prayer card is still on our website. But Ken, if you could help me with that afterwards, I'd appreciate it. We served for 10 years at Fellowship Baptist Church. We moved to Glen Allen in 2010. And that journey of us being, us becoming us, of we becoming us, has been one of the best journeys of our life. Because I can truthfully say we did not do like Elimelech and Naomi and leave the will of God. We moved to God's perfect place for us. We moved to where God's will was for our family. As you read the story of Naomi and you read the story of Elimelech dies, the husband dies, their two sons end up dying after they marry. And so there's two young ladies and Naomi that are left there. And Orpha is one, and a young lady by the name of Ruth is the other one. And so Ruth and Naomi travel back to Bethlehem, Judah. And as I said, you're probably pretty familiar with the book of Ruth. If you're not, Ruth begins to glean in the fields of a man by the name of Boaz. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer to that family. I tell you that if I have a favorite chapter, one of the favorite chapters in the entire Bible, I find that chapter number 3 of the book of Ruth is becoming one of my favorite chapters. Chapter 3 and chapter 4. We're going to look at those of chapter 3 tonight. The Bible says in Ruth chapter number 3, "And Naomi, and then Naomi her mother-in-law said unto her, My daughter shall not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he willoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known to the man, till he shall have done eating and drinking." And in chapter 3 and verse number 4, "And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay there down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down into the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art of a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter than in the beginning, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now is it true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well. Let him do the kinsman part, and if he will not do it, the part of the kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before her, for one could know another, and he said, Let it not be known that a woman came to the floor. Also, he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. When she had came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. I find, and you will find as you read this book of the Bible, you will find that this is a great parallel of Jesus Christ and us. Providing, being our kinsman redeemer, the one who redeemed us. And there's a lot of parallels that I could share with you tonight. And I will not take time to share you all the parallels, but I find some things here that I hope will help us as we think about this subject, when we became us. And the thing that I want you to notice, first of all, is Ruth comes and she's looking for true love. She's looking for somebody to love her. She's looking for somebody to be that kinsman for her. She goes, Naomi says, he's your near kinsman. Go to him and lie at his feet. And gives her the whole scenario of what to say and what to do. And you know, tonight, we're all looking for true love. We're looking for somebody to love us. We're looking for somebody to hold us and to care for us. Grateful that God has given you the spouse that He has given you, and I'm grateful God's given me the spouse that He's given me to be my true love. I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful that God is our kinsman. He's our true love. Amen? As you think about this story, and I was thinking about this, how we become us, there's a few things I want to share with you tonight Again, this is nothing new. This is nothing you've never heard. But I see this in this story, and I want to share it with you tonight. Before I do, let me share with you these statements. The greatest assault that Satan is in our day is the assault on the home. You know that's true. You know that's true. Satan's trying to destroy the home. If Satan can destroy the home, he's going to do everything he can, and he's using our politics and our political scene right now to destroy the home. If he destroys the home, he destroys the church. Then, for biblical marriage to prosper, it takes work, it takes commitment, it takes communication. For our marriages to work, it takes work. It takes a work, it takes a communication, it takes a commitment. For us to work tonight, I want to share with you several things. And I won't be long, but the first thing I want you to see is it takes an investment. Ruth, in this story, she's willing to go to Boaz. She's willing to make an investment. She's looking for that near kinsman. You know, Boaz he's ready to make an investment. He goes, I would be your near kinsman, but there's somebody closer. I cannot do that. I would do that, but there's somebody closer. He is willing to make an investment. Church tonight, can I tell you that here's what we have to be invested in our marriages. We have to be invested in our spouse. You say, well, I spent a lot of money. I tell folks, Teresa just celebrated another birthday, and for her celebrating her birthday, she's going to buy me a brand new snow machine. Amen?
Amen. Sounds good.
It's an investment, brother. For us to work, there has to be an investment. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about there has to be an investment in just a relationship with us. With your spouse. I would ask you tonight, when's the last time you've invested time in your marriage? When's the last time you say, we're here tonight, preacher, we're investing some time. Yeah, but how many of you had to be drugged here? Are you investing time in your relationship? Are we investing time in our children? When we were on deputation moving to Glen Allen, I used to tell folks, and I still believe this to this day. I believe this with all my heart. My greatest mission field is not Glen Allen. My greatest mission field is my family. It's my boys. That's my greatest mission field. Because I could move to Glen Allen. I could move to anywhere else God would want me to. But if I fail to reach my own family, I feel like I have failed. And it takes an investment. It takes spending time. I'm sorry that there may be those that disagree with me, but I am so tired of hearing of pastors' kids and pastors' folks or children who the pastor's gone all the time taking care of the church people, and the kids are neglected. The pastor's kids are neglected. I'd say this very sincerely. Spend time with your children. Invest in your children. Teresa and I were talking about today. Our boys put us to shame in their devotions, because I walked upstairs last night and there's my youngest son sitting in the schoolroom, and he's sitting there reading his Bible, and I'm going, man, here's a young man that's trying to invest in God. Here's a young man. I'm grateful that somebody's investing in him. But shouldn't it be us as parents that are investing in our children? Invest in your spouse. Invest in your marriage. Invest in your children. It takes communication, the word nobody likes to hear. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Amen.
Do we really have to talk about communicating? For us to work, we have to talk. We have to communicate with each other. And it's more than, how was that? How was supper? It was good. It was great. It was fun. I don't know what's transpired in our generation, but we've become where our conversations, they don't exist unless they're conversations around a cell phone or some device now. For our marriages to work and for your families to work, it takes communication. I give you an illustration. So Jonathan is our oldest. He's living in Seward. You pray for him. He's living with Drew and Crystal. You spend some of that $50 you won tonight on him, please. Invest. Amen. But he's in Seward. He's out of the house. Amen. He's in Drew's house now. He's not my problem. Nathaniel 16. Andrew is 14 and Timothy is 12. Go back to that picture we showed earlier. It's a long time ago. Thank you. We were, I was sitting down with Andrew a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago. Andrew and I were driving. He goes with me everywhere. I mean, I could go snow machining 40 below, 50 below. He's like, I'll go with you. Okay, let's go. I was riding around with Andrew one day, and I said, hey, Andrew, I need some help. I said, what's something you think I need to work on in my life? Yeah. And he was not bashful. Well, Dad, I'm glad you asked. I got a whole list typed out. Single font, single space. I was like, my plan was there was something I wanted to talk to him that he needed to work on. But oh, he unloaded. Bless that little 10-year-old, 11-year-old's heart. He unloaded. And I sat there, tears running down my face. And to this day, I still remember riding down the road and asking him, hey, what's something I need to work on? Some of us are too ashamed to ask our kids.
Yes. Amen.
You say, well, they're going to say I need to buy more stuff. No. They see us. They see the real us. And I said, can I give you some advice? And we had a great moment. And every now and then, I'll ask him. I said, remember the time we talked? I said, how am I doing with that? How's that working? He goes, you're doing a whole lot better. Well, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Did Mama buy you a snow machine too? It takes communication. But if you're not willing to invest in your children, you're not willing to communicate. I appreciate times where Jonathan, who is out of the house, will call and he'll say, hey, what are you doing? He'll just want to talk. I'm grateful that we can have an open communication. Some kids and some parents never talk. And maybe as a parent, you need to sit down with your child and say, hey, what is it I need to work on to be a better father, a better mother? What is it in my life that I can do to be a better parent to you? You say, that's a hard question to ask. Well, it's humbling when they give you an answer. And it's an honest answer. It takes an investment. It takes a communication. I see here in this story, Ruth and Boaz had a mutual respect for each other. The Bible says that after he had ate and after he had drank, the Bible says he was married. I don't know exactly what was transpiring, but you know what? He had enough respect for her. I'm not going to bother you. You just lay down there. Let me ask you tonight, what's your respect for your spouse? How do you respect your spouse, your husband, your wife? How do you respect your children? I appreciate the vote of confidence on the boys. I will brag, they are hard workers. They are hard workers. And there's a mutual respect. There's a give and take. for our marriage to have worked this long. These have been married 49 years and longer. They'll tell you, it takes a mutual respect for each other for your marriage to work. It takes a respect of, hey, I love you and I'm glad God put us together, but I respect you for more than just being my wife. I respect you for more than being just my lover. I respect you for being my friend, my confidant. That person I can talk to, that person I can share my deepest and darkest needs with, and that person I can just go to and say, hey, this is the problem, this is what I'm dealing with. Church, for us to work, it takes an investment, it takes communication, it takes a mutual respect for your spouse, for your children. It takes serving together. This picture here, these two pictures, you'll look closely, you'll see Teresa and I. That's a group of 21 teenagers in New York City, standing below the Statue of Liberty. And that's also a picture of 16, 18 teenagers standing on the edge, the lip of the Grand Canyon. I'm grateful that in those pictures are two of our children. The other two weren't born yet. As I said, a lot of times in ministry, and that's not this case everywhere, I'm grateful for it. It's not this case that I've seen in the lives of folks here. But a lot of times, mom stays at home with the kids and they never get to serve as a family together. Find a place to get plugged into your church as a family and serve in that ministry. Whether it be a bus ministry, whether it be a nursery, a Sunday school class, Wednesday night club, find something to invest as a family that say, hey, this is going to be our ministry. We're going to serve the Lord together in this ministry. Y'all know we have, some of you know, the Copper Basin 300 Sled Dog Race ends at our church. And our church is the finish line. For the last 7 years, we fed probably 200 or 300 people every year at that finish for that race. One of my greatest thoughts and my greatest things I've seen is how our children at the church have been there. They've been serving people at that finish of that race. They'll remember that one day. Those folks will remember. Those mushers will remember, hey, everybody there is family. Everybody there is related. Serve the Lord together. I say it takes getting away. If it's a date to the IGA, get away. If it's a date to Hawaii. Amen? I got the big amen on that one. Could be like some going to Cabo. I mean, enjoy yourself. I used to hear preachers say all the time, oh, you got to get away. Or you'll get away or you'll come apart. You'll get away or you'll come apart. And I've seen it. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Your preacher, he may not have a babysitter. Somebody in the church says, hey, I'll watch your kids, preacher. You and your wife go out. It may be, hey, we'll take care of your kids. Y'all go enjoy yourself. Or it may be not just your preacher. It may be somebody else in the church that does not have a babysitter. As a couple, you say, hey, won't you drop your kids off? You and your wife need some time together. We have some folks, and I could ask anybody in our church, but we have some folks that if they know Teresa and I are coming to town, hey, bring the boys over, drop them off. We'll take them, we'll watch them. I'm like, are you sure? Oh, yeah, they'll take them because they want the wood brought in. They want the snow shoveled. They want some help. I'm grateful for people in here who have encouraged us to get away. Because I say this you don't know what people are dealing with, where they're living at. You don't know what the hardships they are dealing with. You don't know the problems that are dumped on their families and their marriages. And one thing we need to continue to do is to date our mates. Continue to date them and continue to just love them and spend time with them. Take time. For us to work, it takes getting away. And this is last, and I say this. For us to work, it takes us to encourage one another. I would say we spend a lot of time, that was just okay, that was fine. But when's the last time you encouraged your spouse? When's the last time you encouraged your children? Hey, you did a good job. I liked how you did that. You colored really well there. That's what Teresa told me last night when I was coloring. Crayola all over the wall. It takes time. You know, for us to work, we got to encourage one another. Encourage your children. I bring it up because Pastor Caleb was talking about this on the Mary Hart Hour, the podcast that him and Brother Caden do, Smoking Meat. But they were talking about recreational. You have to listen to that episode. But he's talking about the love languages. He was talking about how his children are different. And one of them, I believe it's Caleb, he's the huggy one. He's the one that loves affection. And Simon is like, good job, kid. Did a great job. Well, every one of us in here could find that same thing about our kids. How in the world, I have four boys and all of them are so different. My goodness, I developed a love language for my youngest son. He is our gamer. Poor child. Pray for him. I threatened to break his thumbs a couple weeks ago. In Christian love, I was encouraging him. It's never fair when a 12-year-old beats you playing a football game on a video game. You do that again, I'm going to break your thumbs. But you have to find a place, hey, you did a good job. And encourage your children. But I'll tell you this, and I say this in closing, if we don't do these things, invest, communicate, get away with our kids, get away with our families, get away with our spouses, if we don't serve God together, we don't encourage them, the devil is just sitting there doing everything he can do to pull us apart. And I don't know tonight, this is very simple. Pastor, this is just, I was reading the book of Ruth and I saw these things out of this love story of the book of Ruth. And if you and I could just take these simple things and install them, work on them in our marriages, I truly, truly, truly believe we'll have marriages that will last. We'll have marriages that will not just last. I don't want a marriage that's just lasting. I want a marriage that's thriving for God and thriving for the future. I don't want my kids to say, I don't want to be like mom and dad. I want my kids to look and say, hey, I want a marriage like their marriage. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness and for your love to us. Thank you for the time that you've given us, the fun, the fellowship. Lord, would you help us tonight? Help us to strive to have marriages that resemble the marriages that we find in the Word of God of Ruth and Boaz. Lord, where she just wants somebody to love her. God, we're grateful that we have a kinsman redeemer. God, for us as a couple and us as families to work, this list of things, very simple as they may be, Lord, I believe these are things that I need to work on. God, I want my marriage, I want my family to work for you, for the glory of God. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
last remarks to my daughter before we left was how horrible she was doing something. We're having pizza tonight because you guys are going. I said, oh, probably. And, you know, pack the pizza up to the living room. Not supposed to have food upstairs on the carpet. And then the dog bumps into you, drops his stuff on the carpet. You dropped on the carpet, didn't you? You talk about different, right? The boys, I mean, you got on the boys are like, you just look at Lily wrong, and it's just, distraction, though. That's the blessing of Lily. I just distract her over here real quick, and then everything's all right. Everything's okay. Learning your kids. And so Brother Stevens was covering this up, married with kids, right? Married with kids. And Pastor Sinoreski, I think it was when we were in the Grandview, last time we were in the Grandview, so it had been two years ago, talked about that and had an illustration. I just remember the illustration because I just remember you, and I remember Miss Heather. And one of the things I like about being around, like when everybody comes, I like being around, I play college football, I like being around like people that are bigger than me, right? I used to sit between the tackles on the airplane. You know, we'd go somewhere to play, and it was just, you know, squish. I get around Caleb and Drew, like, and the big, you know, I remember, it was Crystal, Jake, Caleb, and then mom and dad. And so how kids get between the parents, and you end up married to a stranger. You know, it'll be interesting tomorrow what Preacher talks about with the empty nest. But on the flip side, we got to learn our kids. Yeah, learn your kids. And I tell the kids, you know, they get older and they start, you know, oh, I like this girl. I like this. I said, you better marry right. I said, Christmas, every Thanksgiving, you want it to be good. You don't want it to be a mess. Be frank with them. Don't just, oh, Lord, I hope it turns out. Talk to them. They're people. I do not want the school system teaching my kids about sexual things. It's insane. New York, I was teasing one of our couples from New York. I said, brother, I just can't see you filling out this scale of whiteness, determining your whiteness, you know. They're sending home in the schools in New York this week, you know, determine how white you are and reflect on that. Now you feel bad that you're, I'm like, you're crazy. Insane. Yeah. Nuts. Talk to them. I tell you, kids, how'd school go today? And somebody get the grunts. Nothing, you know. How was it? What did you learn? And get down on there. I got one that likes the games. There's the wood pile. I mean, that's like what I knew, right? I was like, there's no games. Oh, games? Hey, Dad, do you think if I pay attention, think I can learn how to run sound at church? Same one that likes the games. I was like, super interested in it. He's like, yeah. I said, we use that same one for this and that and the other. I said, oh, all right. Does it make you, and you know, sometimes you get around young people and you can't preach in and stuff, and all that stuff's death, right? You know how they're fighting in the military now? You know how they pump concrete? Yeah. I've seen them, Brother Drew. We do that. We pump. I mean, they just got come out. That guy's got the gig right there. You know? Got everybody else breaking their back. No. Get that pump a little closer, you know. Got the guy on the sticks. Just, you know, thinking. Got one of our coaches on the set. Like, where are you? I got to go shoot a house. Like, what's that mean? He flies his drone around the house for realtors. Takes pictures all day. Just flies around. Takes all these pictures. Thinking, okay. All right. Lord can use it. Use it. But get to know that about them. And don't mess up and have them go by and say, man, I wish it. It's a season. And it's gone. It's over. It's gone. Gone. Right? We're looking at Texas. They're all frozen. They're going to go from the frozen chosen to the flooded whatever. There, you know, it's like all those people coming across the border, they're like, what's that wall of water? You know, it's like, tech's going to melt. It's going to wash them all back, all the way to Nicaragua, wherever they're coming from, the whole group of them. Back to hot again. I mean, just like that. But it's a season.
And it's like, it was there, and it's gone. And we just spend the time now because we're past that, and we're encouraging those coming behind us. Wake up! I wish I knew as much as I do now back when. I said, man, I was an idiot when we started. I don't know nothing. I still don't know anything today, but we're trying, right? We're trying to learn and invest. Invest is an effort, right? Been watching a ton of Newsmax and got all the old guys on there. Silver's about to make its big run. Get silver. Could hit $50. Bank of America says gold could hit $3,500. Like, I don't have silver or gold. I got nothing. I got brass blades on my salmon spinners. That's all I got. You know, that's my precious metal. I got some lead sinkers in my boat. You know, that's my precious metal, you know. But the message, hey, invest. Think about it. Think about what's coming. Invest. You'll never get older and say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have paid attention to my kid. I wish I wouldn't have asked my spouse. I wish I wouldn't have. Just the little, like the mini dates. And we started doing, you know, daddy-daughter dates, which just, you know, $1. So not every time we go, Dad, we're going to get coffee? You know, it's never just coffee. Then it's, can we go here too? I'm like, girl, you're killing me. You're breaking me. So, but, you know, and then Chris will take the boys out, but not all together, just one at a time. And it's, they talk a different language when they're individually by themselves to you than they will when they're together. I don't know. There's like this herd pack thing. They don't want to hear the other brother say this, or they don't want to hear him say this. And it just surprised you. And it's fun. I'd appreciate the openness, brother, about asking your son about that, you know. So we have to get more paper for us, you know. For me. Go ahead. You can type it out, Jake. You know. I'll read it all weekend. I'll read it. But not a bad idea if you want to work on it, right? Right? Because the kids, they come, well, coach, what can I do to get better? You really want to know? Because I'll really tell you. You know? Okay, I mean, really, if you're really serious, this is what you need to work on. Okay, I'm going to work on that. You know? And there's some of you just come in, oh, coach, what can I do? There's not much to work with. You know? Just like, don't worry about it. You just come, you keep smiling. You know? You just keep showing up. You know? Just like, we'll help you. You know? I got to feel like that. We'll help you. You really want to work on it? Find out. Right? What good is it list your strengths all the time and pretend you have no blind spots? Pretend you have no weaknesses when those could be turned into strengths? You can really help somebody.
Yes.
Be a blessing. Yeah, you help some people tonight, brother. I feel it. You're excited for tomorrow. Excited for preachers to preach tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll have our empty nesters next. So all this with kids, we're just going to be like, we'll be here. I got smart and backed it up to 10 o'clock. It really is at 10 o'clock. It's not at 10:30. It's not at 9:30. It's at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And so we'll be here. There'll be some stuff downstairs if you want to eat before you come. I know when people come from out of nowhere, Glen Allen, you know, and you want to eat breakfast somewhere, you can or whatever, but not a McDonald's. We want you to live, brother. We want you to live. But we're going to dismiss tonight. You can stay in fellowship however long, and I'm grateful you guys all get together. Well, it's wonderful. I'm asked Brother Carden, would you stand and pray for us, preacher, and dismiss us tonight?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us together. Lord, thank you for Brother Severs. I know that his children, Teresa's, Lord, are almost have that 12-year-old, and Lord, it's just wonderful to see families. It's wonderful, Lord. A lot of these families know some of their children are real young right now, and they need to enjoy that time. I know sometimes it can be so overwhelming, but that time will not be there all the time.
Yes, Lord.
It's just like the season, and we are learning as much as the children are learning, even more, and just pray that you would please be with Mom and Dad. Help them to help one another in the struggles that they have. And Father, sometimes Dad is the one that has to take over the reins, Lord, with the children, and maybe Mom's just been overwhelmed. And sometimes it's Dad that comes in, and he's overwhelmed, and Mom has to take care of the kids. Just pray that you would please help them to have the balance that they need to have and the love that they need to have for one another. We thank you, dear Lord, for these dear families that are here. Thank you for those couples that went up there, and there were four of them, Lord. They did such a wonderful job, and thank you, Lord, for them.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. You're dismissed. We'll see you in the morning.